Psalm chapter 46 tonight. Book of Psalms and chapter 46. Psalm 46, as we come here on a Wednesday night in the middle of the week, I know many of us, we bring concerns with us, bring things we're worried about, things we're not sure how they're going to be handled. I think of just the few prayer requests mentioned tonight. I think of the missions letters, and they're bringing forth all their prayer requests, and they have something that they're worried about, something that they're concerned about. I think that's all of us here. We have some kind of concern that we have. And as we go throughout this passage, I'm going to mention several times, just to think of your biggest concern. So just take a few seconds right now. Just think of your biggest concern you have right now in life. And then if you would, just for the honoring of God's word, if you would stand with me as we read all 11 verses tonight from Psalm 46. And verse 1 begins, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever been doing a task and became so mechanical you didn't even think about doing it? It just came naturally. Could be a task you do every day. Brushing your teeth, driving, getting ready for the day, hitting snooze on the alarm clock for the fifth time, and getting up late. Or it could be something that everyone would do, but you do it all the time, and so repetitively, that's just as normal as breathing. I thought about this the other day. I went to go clock in for work the other day. I couldn't remember my clock in numbers. It's just normal. I click the same numbers, but when I start thinking about it, I can't remember what they were. But it could be that way for many things. Many things we don't really pay too much thought to. Then there's some things we give a little bit of thought to or to complete them well. Could be this way as you're preparing for an event, possibly a birthday party or a family vacation. Could be this way as you're doing something you're unfamiliar with as a task, such as changing the oil, not being a mechanic, cutting another person's hair, not being a hairdresser. Then there are times where doing tasks requires almost all of our focus at that time. This could be when you're having a very important discussion with your child that could change how their life could go. Important conversation with your spouse that could change the landscape of your careers. This could be in budgeting and how to spend the money this month. And there could be things where that's we can't stop thinking about. We're so concerned with them. I think of a coworker right now who he's having a cancer surgery next week, and that's all he's been really thinking about at work is this: how serious the surgery is, and all the stuff. He came to his job the right way because it's all he's focused on. And there could be other things where that's what we're focused on, and we're not giving the right amount of attention to God. But that's what the psalmist here in Psalm 46 is speaking to. In the background of Psalms, a commentator suggests that this psalm was written during the reign of Hezekiah, while preparing to go into war with the strongest army of the time, the Assyrians. While some of our major concerns right now could be many, one that is not much on any of our minds is preparing for battle. That we're being surrounded as this plan is happening, but for King Hezekiah, This thought was heavily on his mind. He couldn't stop thinking about it. He knew he needed to go to war. He knew he needed to stop paying money to King Sennacherib of Assyria to appease him so they would leave him alone for another month. On the other hand, it did seem like a good idea if he were to spare the people's lives. All of Hezekiah's focus was on this decision, on this war, and King Sennacherib threatening him once again. It was in this time of anxiety and stress that God was wanting Hezekiah to be still and know God was in control. God delivered Israel in a miraculous way here that Israel and Syria could only say, this was of God. This was not an easy task to let life or death scenarios go and let God handle it in the same way. We have really times we have gone through where it's hard to let it go and say, God, you can handle this, I can't. And I think as we examine this psalm, we'll see why Hezekiah could trust God. And more importantly, we'll see that we can trust God no matter how big our concerns are. And as you look at how Hezekiah tried stuff before, as he's confronted by the prophet Micah, you can see in Micah 3, he's talking down to Hezekiah and saying, all the wickedness in Israel is all your fault. Because Hezekiah, he decided, I'm going to make these tunnels so that we can get through and the Assyrians can't. But that didn't work for him. And then the Assyrians just surrounded Israel, didn't have to go into Israel, and were threatening there for battle. And in Hezekiah's way, men were going through tough labor, men were dying, and it was all because of Hezekiah. And now Hezekiah has turned around, he has repented, and he's coming now to God and saying, God, you told me to stop trying it my way. You told me to start trying it your way. What do I do? Because all I'm thinking about is this battle in front of me, and you called me here, but what do I do? So first we notice in the psalm, God was worthy of being trusted. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. The Israelites should not fear because God is their strength in their time of war. God is their strength in this present time of their trouble. As we see in 46 in the second half, a very present help in trouble. God has delivered Israel over and over again. He's been a refuge to them and a strength to them, and they've seen it, and yet they still struggle to trust God from times. And what the language here is saying, God was basically their watchtower. God was the defense of Israel. This tower would have been the defense against any enemies coming to attack them. What a beautiful picture for them to come and say like this, that no matter what trouble comes, our trust is in God. Our trust isn't in our horses. Our trust isn't in our chariots. Our trust isn't in any of our warfare. Our trust is in the Lord God of Israel. There was trouble going on, present trouble is a hint of what Hezekiah and the nation were facing, and they needed a very present help. The Israelites would not fear, though all the trouble around them is worded here in 2 and 3. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. As we look at the description here of what is said in these two verses, none of what's described sounds good. The earth being removed sounds like what would happen in a tornado, or the fierce winds picking up such things as trees. The college I went to in Oklahoma City, they just had some pretty severe wind damage. So severe that they were without power since Sunday night and supposed to get power back either tonight or tomorrow just because of the fierce winds knocking all the power lines down. Israel's here saying, though these fierce winds are coming and picking trees up out of the ground, we will not fear because our trust is in God. And then it goes, the idea of mountains carried into the sea, something we don't hear of every day, obviously. The idea is that a mountain carrying the sea is crazy. But the idea here is that they trust in God when the natural disasters are happening all around them, and they don't even know what a word they could use to describe it. Then we have waters roaring and trembling, the idea that being on the ships in the middle of a hurricane-type weather where life is not very likely, we will trust in God despite that. mountains quaking, the idea of an earthquake. If someone can describe the magnitude of an earthquake as actual mountains quaking, it's something that I would not want to be around. You wouldn't want to be around. No one would want to be around these earthquakes. But Israel's saying, if we're in those situations, we will trust God. That's what the psalmist is conveying here. As children of God, we should not fear because God should be our strength in times of trouble. If the writer of Psalm believed that God was stronger than these natural disasters, I think we can say God is powerful. As you think of what is possibly one of your biggest concerns in life, you can look at it and say, God is bigger than this. God's bigger than the concerns I have. God is Elohim. I see here, in the beginning, God, I think that passage there of Elohim. God, the creator. God, the all-powerful. God, who has control over all nature. We can go to God and say, God, here's our problem, and we're bringing it to you in hopes that you can fix it. And we're trusting in you, Lord. I don't think a single person here struggles to answer, is God more powerful than this? I think of myself, after my freshman year of Bible college, I decided to go work at a summer camp in Tennessee. And in Tennessee, we didn't get paid very much at all, maybe $50 a week. And with that, I was like, that's not going to be enough for me to go to college the next semester. And so I got back with just a few weeks left to work hard before the semester started. I did my best. I worked hard, but I didn't have the full down payment. As I was looking at it, I was like, God, what am I going to do? So I went to the financial dean there at the school. I explained the situation to him, and he's like, we'll work around this. So they put me on special terms, making me pay more money, as the school was, you had to graduate debt-free. You weren't allowed to carry any school debt with you. And as that was the policy, I knew, God, what am I going to do? Crunching the numbers, it doesn't look good. It looks nearly impossible. But every week, I was just praying to God, God, I need your power here. I need you to deliver me from this time of trouble. And God did. And even when I was worrying, I was like, God, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to make it. God in his power said, I will. I can. I am stronger, more powerful than any financial numbers. Israel knew they should trust God in times of trouble. But the question must be going through their mind. Why would God protect us? Surely the same question could come to our mind. Why would God be our refuge in times of trouble? Especially if it's something that doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Let's look at how it affected Israel. So we look here in verses 4 and 7, 4 through 7. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. God's help was there to protect the city of God. God's help is seen similar to that of a river that would run to Jerusalem, the city of God. What a comparison between water being used as a force of destruction earlier in this chapter, I believe verse 3, and then water being used as a vital source to Israel in verse 4. I do not know that the psalmist intended this, but it's very unique to see how God used the same object to accomplish different purposes. We often seem to think that an object is good only for one thing or bad for one thing. This time of trouble in our life, we may only see as bad, while God's purpose of it is not to see us suffer, but is used to grow us. God is able to use water as a life source to sustain the city of God here. The city of God is Jerusalem, because that is where the temple is. God dwells in the temple, he won't be removed. God is here in the middle of where he is to be glorified. God had ordained it to be so. God said that the temple was where he dwells. Because that's where he dwells, he's going to protect his people there in the city of God. When we understand that God has ordained Jerusalem as his people's dwelling, the rest of the section makes so much sense of why he was going to such great lengths to protect Israel. God will help where he is and in his time. when Judah is being attacked by nations, God will help her. So we can just think about the entire book of Judges and Joshua. As God has gone through and protected them when they have went and made decisions where they should have been protected. God many times should have just let them go. But in his long-sufferingness and his love, he came and protected them once again. God will also help her right early, which is early in God's time. To Hezekiah, right early would have meant the Assyrian army would not even have time to surround him. God's right early happened before any damage was done. The Assyrian army was defeated before attacking Hezekiah and Judah. The heathen raged against Israel, and God conquered them. They raised up to go to war, and God said that's not going to happen. I think verse 6 contains so much history for Judah and Israel. The heathen raged, all the heathen coming about Israel. The kingdoms were moved. He, being God, uttered his voice, and the earth melted. When God says, it's going to be like this in my way, in my time, because God is sovereign, that's what's going to happen. God's help is just as consistent to his children now as it was to the children of Israel. We know in Corinthians that we are called the temple of God. We know God took care of his people in the Old Testament. We can look at the New Testament. Besides being called the temple of God, we know that God is our father and that no good father wants to see his children struggle. We can look at biblical examples of how God took care of Paul. Paul being left for dead. Paul being shipwrecked. And God's there protecting Paul, sustaining Paul for where he needs to be, as well as other characters all throughout the book of Acts. God was with them and comforted them. Paul would not be singing and praising God in a nasty prison had he not felt the compassion and comfort of God in his life, knowing God was real, God was in control. Even though he's in prison, even though he's getting beaten, he knows God is in control. I want you to think back of what you said your greatest struggle is, your greatest concern in life. I want you to answer this question now. Does God care? Does God care about this time of trouble? I think we can all say that the answer is yes, that God cares. If we know how great God is, if we know God's greater than this trouble, and we know God cares about us, what could stand between our trouble and God? God's help is greater than anything his children will face. His children needed to be still and let God be God. As we see here in verses 8 through 10. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Verse 8 and 9 is almost a repeat of what's being said in the previous section. That come, look at everything God has done. Look at all the wonders he has done. Just look at his creation. Look at everything God has done. As God, every time in this passage, is referred to as Elohim, the strong creator God. And we can look and say, God did all of this. God has delivered us. God has saved us. Some God saved us out of sin. Some God has saved us from going into sin by saving us at an early age. If we just look at our salvation, is that not enough reason just to trust God to save us from the pits of hell? The Israelites, for sure, needed to look at the powerful acts of God. Hezekiah needed to look here and think about all the power God has and just focus his concerns, focus his worrying, and just focus it on God. And say, God, you can handle this issue. You can handle King Sennacherib. You can handle the biggest power in the world is nothing compared to you, God. God had caused wars to end. In the likely events going on of King Hezekiah, we see God ended the war. And without a single soldier going to war. The angel of the Lord here went and smote all the Assyrian soldiers. God had broken weapons of war. We see that God was stronger than any modern weapons of war then. We could say God's stronger than any weapons of war now. Stronger than bombs, stronger than tanks, stronger than anything you can think of. God is much stronger, much mightier. The Israelites then needed to be still and know that God is still in control. It's so hard for the Israelites, it's so hard for us to just stop. just stop and think about how good and how great God is. The word here for be still is the idea of not only relaxing, but stop what you're doing. Stop thinking about how hard and impossible the situation is in front of you, but just focus on how good and great God is. The idea here is that they would stop what they are doing and give full focus to knowing that God is in control. In reality, there was nothing Hezekiah or the nation could do to defeat the Syrians. In the same way, much of our trouble is something we cannot fix on our own and still glorify God. Christians need to trust God in their times of trouble by stopping what we are doing to fix this trouble and remember how good God has been and how great God is, and turn to God and have Him solve our trouble. Trust God in our trouble by allowing Him to have sole control. With how high gas prices are, with how insane inflation is right now, it's not looking like the brightest of times. It's looking dark if you're looking at the future. And you could start to worry and go have anxiety about what's the future going to be like? Are we going to end up going to war? What's going to happen? And we just need to stop and give God control. Trust God in our trouble by allowing Him to have sole control. We may have heard something in a recent message about how we need to maybe be a better parent, or how we need to be a better spouse, or how we need to be a better child of our parents. And it seems almost near impossible for what it seems God's asking us here. But we need to know this. Despite how hard it is, we can trust God in our trouble by giving Him sole control. Just think about what you said your biggest concern in life is. And determine you're going to give control of that concern to God. God, I don't know how you're going to work this out, but I know this. You have the control over this situation. Determine that God is bigger than your concern and ask for His help to focus on Him and allow Him to direct our paths. If we give God sole control of our trouble, it can give such peace during our trouble. During God's children's troubling times, God is their refuge. Find that in verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Just how it starts in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in our trouble. And then here in verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. During times of trouble, God was their refuge. Trust God in our trouble by allowing Him to have sole control. How comforting is it to know that the God of the universe, the creator of life, the God that has always been and always will be, can be handling your problems right now. When we put faith in God to handle our problems, we have no need to worry. We have no need to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next month, what's going to happen next year, what's going to happen to all this money I've invested and the market's crashing. We don't have to worry about that if we just put our focus on God and allow God to have sole control of our trouble. There once was a group of scientists studying a certain flower in a mountainous region. It was beautiful, but seemed out of reach for these scientists. They could see it from over the cliff on both sides, but they all feared that they would not be able to make it. Then this little child comes and says, "I can get it." And they said, "Aren't you worried you won't be able to get back up? If my dad holds the rope, I have nothing to fear." If we can have the faith of a child to know God can hold us, God can keep us up, God can have full control of that trouble in our life, what do we have to fear? What do we have to worry about? What do we have to be so concerned about if God, the creator of the universe, can be with us in this trouble? If you're going through a time of trouble, trial in your life, I think Psalm is clear. This Psalm 46 is clear that you need to trust God with whatever you're going through. You may be here and not going through a big trial in your life right now. I think a way to prepare would be to thank God for everything He's done in your life. To, in your devotions, take some extra time and just be still. Just tune out everything going on in your life. Don't think about what's going on. Just take the extra time, 5 minutes or however long it takes, to just be still. Don't think about, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, but just be still and say, God, I know you're in control of my day. I know you're in control of what's going to happen today, and I trust you. I trust you, you'll do it. Maybe you're here, you're going through trial, and you can just feel the presence of God as you have shown in faith. Take some time and thank God that he cares for his children. May we be like that little child and say, I trust you, God. I trust that you can take care of me because you are great, and you are powerful, and you have full control of this world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing me to just share this perfect message from your perfect word, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to just have faith in you and trust in you to go through the rest of this life, God, and that we would just have our focus on you. Just I pray. Amen.